During this season of Lent, we have been looking at a whole idea or a series of sermons looking at the topic of what it means to be an exile. And the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today that concludes our series of sermons and considers the notion of Easter in an age of exile is found in the book of 1 Peter, and we're looking at the first chapter, the first 9 verses. I would invite you to take the Bible, the pew Bible that's in front of you, or you can look at the words as they're projected on the screens behind me. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God bless to us this reading and hearing of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord in heaven, on this Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the amazing events 2,000 years ago, when Christ rose from the dead, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us in a fresh way, not only about those events, but also regarding our own journeys of faith here and now. We pray, Lord, as we consider this whole idea of Easter in an age of exile, that you would be pleased to, by your Spirit, speak to us right where we live, work, and play. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and we pray that you would guide us as we seek to grow in grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Even though Easter is such a wonderful and beautiful time of the year, we all dress up in our fancy duds and we enjoy wonderful food with friends and family, it can also be a time of discouragement and heartbreak. Have you ever felt like an exile on Easter? Maybe you were far from home when the holiday rolled around, or you were away on a work assignment, or you were deployed overseas in the military. Perhaps you experienced a broken relationship in your life, and Easter just brought out that feeling of estrangement all the more. Or maybe something awful happened in your life, and your dreams died. It's hard to be in exile on Easter. During the season of Lent this year, we've been looking at this idea of exile as a metaphor to describe how on many occasions we as Christians feel out of step with the rest of the world, like strangers in a strange land. We've also noted that the American church is no longer in the same place that it was once before. It's in a different place, and we no longer have the home field advantage, so to speak. And Christian truth, Christian values, are no longer shared by a majority of the people around us. What does the message of Easter and the promise of the resurrection mean to people living in exile? What difference does it really make? And how can it affect the way I live my life? I believe that the resurrection means everything. And I believe it can also change your life. In the passage we've read this morning, the Apostle Peter addresses the letter to people who were exiles. He writes, "To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now, the words strangers in the world is a translation of two Greek words, peripidomoi and diasporos, from which we get our English word diaspora. And another way of translating these words is exiles who are scattered around the world. Some translations render it pilgrims. The people to whom Peter was writing were literally exiles. They were scattered over what was then known as Asia Minor, or what is today Western Turkey. They were also exiles in another sense, in which the followers of Christ were persecuted as a minority in their culture. And in some contexts, they had to meet in secret for fear of arrest. Peter even refers to the sufferings, the persecution that they had been experiencing in this text. And it was to these exiles that Peter wrote about the hope Jesus' resurrection offers us. Even after the resurrection, the followers of Christ often felt like exiles. It happened, in fact, on the very day when Jesus rose from the dead. You'll recall that Luke, the evangelist, tells us in his gospel that late in the day, the risen Christ joined two people who were walking on the road to Emmaus from the city of Jerusalem. And everything about them indicated that they felt like exiles, and they were in a state of sadness. They were in a state of despair. The passage tells us they stood still, their faces downcast. They said, "We had hoped he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this has happened." You can hear the disappointment in their voices. Their hopes had been dashed, their dreams died. It's not an uncommon experience for this sort of thing, whenever you feel like your dreams have died, when you feel like an exile. A number of years ago, Eugene Peterson wrote a commentary on the book of Jeremiah. And in it, he explains that Jeremiah himself lived during a period of exile in the 6th century B.C. And you recall that the Jews had been taken captives and relocated in Babylon after they were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. And in his book, Peterson writes, "The essential meaning of being an exile is that we are where we don't want to be. Exile is traumatic and terrifying. Our sense of who we are is very much determined by the place we are in and the people we are with. When that changes, violently, abruptly, who are we? The accustomed ways we have of finding our worth and sensing our significance vanish. The first wave of emotion recedes and leaves us feeling worthless, meaningless. We don't fit anymore. No one expects us to do anything. No one needs us. We're extra baggage. We aren't necessary." Have you ever felt like that? Felt like you weren't necessary? Felt like you didn't fit in? We all have at some point in time. And the early disciples surely did when Jesus was crucified. It's a very difficult place to be. However, it's in that place of exile where God often shows up. Peterson writes that the exile the Jews experienced in Babylon led to one of the most creative periods in the entire sweep of Jewish history. It was a time in which they lost everything that they thought was important, but then they discovered what was most important. They found God. And so did these disciples on the road to Emmaus that first Easter. Luke tells us that when he was at table with them, Jesus broke bread and gave thanks and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures? And they got up at once and returned to Jerusalem. The resurrection changed everything for these people in exile. The Apostle Peter writes about the hope of the resurrection in our passage today. And he says, in his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In spite of their experience as exiles, in spite of the frequent persecution and opposition they encountered, hope was still possible for them because of Christ and his resurrection. The victory Jesus won over the grave had given Peter hope that we too can overcome, and that God offers us that hope both in this world and in the world to come. The Bible says that the tragic death of Jesus on the cross and the disillusionment that the disciples experienced provided not only the means for our salvation, but also the stunning turn of events that would change the world forever, let alone the lives of the disciples. Eugene Peterson says that this very strangeness of being an exile can open a new reality to us. With the pain and in the midst of the alienation, a sense of freedom can occur. It happened for Israel when it was in exile. It also happened for the disciples after the crucifixion. And it can happen for you and for me too. For the Israelites, this new reality meant settling down and finding what really it meant to be God's people in a foreign land. It meant for them to choose to flourish in a place they didn't want to be, to build houses, to raise children, to witness to the people in their community, to pray for the flourishing of their city. Even though they were in a place they never wanted to be, they accepted it as God's will for their lives, and they sought to bloom right where they were planted. The same can be true for us. If we find ourselves in an unwanted, an unexpected place where we never thought we would ever go, that can be a prompt for us to begin to ask the good questions. Lord, what are you up to in this? What are you trying to say to me? What do you want to do in my life in the midst of this hard thing? And what am I supposed to learn from it all? It can cause us to seek God in a new way with all our hearts and to endeavor to live in a way that really matters, where we discover what really matters most now that the props in life have been pulled out from under us. Peterson says that exile is the worst that reveals the best. I want you to say that with me. Exile is the worst that reveals the best. It happened for Israel when it was in exile. It also happened for the disciples after the resurrection. And it can happen for us. Lisa Meyer of our congregation sent me a blog of someone she likes to read. And the writer, a woman named Jody Berndt, applied these truths in talking about what Jeremiah wrote in terms of exile. And the quotes that I've read to you, I got from her blog and from Eugene's book, Run With Horses. But Jody also applied the truths of what Eugene wrote about to the recent victory of the University of Virginia basketball team when they won the national championship of the NCAA tournament. Congratulations to all you Wahoo fans. Go ACC. You may recall that last year, the UVA basketball team was the first number one seed in the history of the NCAA tournament to lose to a number 16 seed. It was a crushing and embarrassing defeat, and it represented one of the lowest points in life for both the team and its coach, Tony Bennett. But they found a way to take that huge negative and turn it into a positive. They accepted the loss as a painful gift. They actually called it that. And it motivated them to work harder, to play tougher, and to coach better than they ever had before. Coach Bennett cited a line that he had heard from a TED Talk that he used it to motivate and to focus his players. And here's the line. It said, "If you learn to use adversity and painful defeat correctly, it will take you to a place you couldn't have gone any other way." Think about that. How you respond to the difficult thing you're going through right now will make all the difference in your life in the future. You can either resign yourself to defeat, like the disciples did after the crucifixion initially, or you can get stuck in your sadness and your disillusionment, or you can allow God to use it as a moment to do a new thing in your life and to look to Him to bring a transformation that can take you to a new place. Just look at what happened to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were so excited after they realized that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. They got up from the table where they were eating and they raced back to Jerusalem, a journey of 7 miles. Even though it was nighttime, they couldn't wait to share the good news with their friends. Earlier in my sermon, I quoted Eugene Peterson when he said that exile is the worst that reveals the best. That's the message of the cross and the resurrection. It's also the promise of heaven. Last year, on October the 22nd, Eugene Peterson died. And the day he died, his family tells me that he sat up straight in bed. He looked off into a distance and he pointed and he said, "I would like to go with you." Just a few hours later, he was dead. He had the most peaceful expression on his face. Eugene's family believes that he saw Jesus, or at least one of his angels, and he was beginning his journey to heaven. Just a few hours later, he was gone. In his last moments, Eugene Peterson was clinging to the hope of heaven, and it was becoming a reality for him as he was making a journey from this life to the next. My friends, this world is not meant to be our permanent home. In a sense, all of us are exiles, making a journey that one day we will consummate when we see Christ in heaven. Resurrection always gives us hope. And as exiles, it's the hope we have in Christ that can enable us to take the worst things that happen in this life and see the redemptive work of God at work in the middle of it all. Consider this current example. On April the 15th, the world was shocked to learn that the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris was on fire. And the flames devastated the 850-year-old church. But as fire retreated, hopeful reports began to come out. Holy relics, works of art, historic documents had been saved. Many parts of the old building miraculously had survived. And contributions and pledges poured in to ensure that the Grand Cathedral would be rebuilt again. Resurrection. However, the most remarkable part of the story that emerged from the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral is what took place the night of the fire. Hundreds of Parisian Catholics, many of them young people, were kneeling in the streets around the building as it burned. And they continued to stay there until the wee hours of the morning. The secular press had no idea how to process the sight of people praying and singing as one of the most famous buildings in Paris was being reduced to ashes. Even as the old church was being destroyed, it managed to bring together those who seek eternal life through the one who said, "I shall rise again." Resurrection. France is one of the most secular countries in Europe. Believers there feel like exiles. But on this, one of the darkest nights, the light of their faith shone brightly, and God took the worst to reveal the best. That's how God always works. It's what he did with the cross and the resurrection. And he can do it in your life too, my friend. Whatever hardship you may be facing today, Easter faith gives us hope. Hope today and hope always. So we can remember and celebrate. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord in heaven, I don't know where everyone is this morning here in this sanctuary, but I know many of the stories, and I know that there are people who are hurting and folks who feel like exiles, people who've had their dreams dashed and their hopes hammered. I pray, Lord, that for each person here, that this message of resurrection hope can instill that faith to look to you to do your best work in the hardest times of our lives. And Lord, if there is someone here this morning who has wandered away from you and really doesn't know what they believe about all of this, I pray that you would give them comfort by your Spirit to sit with the Savior and to lean into the things of faith and to dig deep and to explore what this truth is all about that could bring a transformation to their soul. Oh God, what a privilege it is for us to have you in our lives and to have companions on a journey to encourage us in our growth in grace. And may you show up in a mighty way in the coming week as we try to live in the light of resurrection hope. In the strong and blessed and saving name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.